Today we have the privilege of studying selections from Yeshayah Perek Nun Zayin, chapter 57. This chapter has as its major theme the idea of castigating the evildoers who abandon God and who plunge headlong into idolatry and into other types of sins, while then beginning a message of tshuva, of God's acceptance of repentance, even from those who have plunged so very deep into sin and who are desirous of repenting. The overall context here is the period of the return to Eretz Yisrael, the period of return to Zion, which the Navi has been describing since Perek 40, since Perek Mem. In the context of this return to Zion, one should not think of the return as a glorious process which has no interruptions, which has only ups and no downs. On the contrary, there are periods during this process when the people sin, when the people need to be punished for their sins. And this is the issue which the Navi addresses in this chapter. How can these sins fit, how can this process of sin and redemption, sin and return and repentance, fit into the larger process of redemption? What is the context between sin and redemption? The Navi here posits the idea that just as the Jews began on this road to Eretz Israel way back in chapter 40, they can get back on this road towards redemption, towards Geula, if they will repent. And so that is the main idea of our chapter. And it is for that reason that the last part of our chapter forms the beginning of the Haftarah for Yom Kippur. It's the Haftarah which we read Yom Kippur in the morning. I will begin our discussion. We will only look at selections from this chapter. I will begin our discussion with Pasuk Gimel, 3. Ve'atem kirvu hena b'nei onana. Zera menaef vatizne. So it begins with an invocation, kervu hena, and you, come here, gather, come close here. The come close here is not a call to come close to God for the sake of God healing, but rather it is come close for the sake of judgment. As the Radak says, kervu hena la mishpat al ma'aseichem haraim. Come here to be judged for your evil deeds. How are the Jewish people addressed here? They are called B'nei Onana, sons of magical acts. The idea is not something positive, but the forbidden magic is mentioned in Sefer Vayikra as Lo Te'onenu. You should not do acts of necromancy. And here the Jews are being called B'nei Onana, people who are participating in these acts, forbidden acts of necromancy. So gather here, you participants in forbidden magical acts, attempts to control nature through accessing black magic. Zera menaef vatizne, a seed of adulterers who act as prostitutes. Throughout this chapter, we find the image of adultery, prostitution, forbidden sexual acts, and the Radak comments on this in his Perush on Pasuk Hey. He says as follows, Hine ra'inu b'sifrei ha-nevi'im, shehim shilu Yisrael ovdei avodah zarah, we have seen frequently in the prophetic literature that Israel, when the people of Israel worship idols, they are compared to a woman who prostitutes herself under her husband, who goes and looks for other lovers rather than staying loyal to her husband, just as the Jewish people are going and looking for other gods rather than staying loyal to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the explanation for the imagery in this chapter, according to the Radak. And we see this imagery mentioned several times in this chapter. For example, in Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5, Hanechamim ba'elim tachat kol etz ra'anan. Hanechamim ba'elim, who go into heat for the various forbidden divinities. Elim literally means gods, but it's gods with a small g. Nechamim from Lashon Yachem, to enter into heat, to enter into sexual excitement. These people are somehow becoming sexually excited about the various divinities other than God. Under every leafy tree, this refers to the fertility cult of the goddesses, which is usually conducted under the leafy tree, and the idea that people are excited about these fertility cults. And they abandon God, of course, by worshipping these goddesses. And the indictment in Pasuk Hey goes even farther. Shochatei ha'iladim banechalim tachat zifei haslaim, who slaughter your children in the wadis under the clefts of the rocks. The idolatrous worship here is connected not only to actual idolatry, but also to child sacrifice. And so the prophet is castigating people not only for worshipping idols and participating in fertility cults, but also for going into idolatry and entering into it with excitement that leads even to the slaughter of children as sacrifices to idolatrous cult. This serves as a distinct contrast with worship of God. If we look at Pasuk Chet, we see that contrast expressed very clearly. Ve'achar hadelet v'hamezuzah samt zichronech. So behind the door and the doorpost, you place a memorial. What is this memorial? This memorial here refers to some action, which some type of physical memory referring to the idolatrous worship, which people are placing in their doors, as a sort of contradistinction or as a perverted realization of the mitzvah of mezuzah. Rather than performing the mitzvah of mezuzah, placing a reminder of God and God's unity on one's door, here people are placing a reminder of the idol on their doors. And the Radak comments on this contrast. I gave you the mitzvah of mezuzah so that you would always mention my worship. And you have placed instead of my worshiping me a memory of the of idolatrous worship and placed a memorial to them behind your doors and behind your doorposts. And you have abandoned the act of remembrance which I gave you, that you should remember me at all times. Continuing in this pasuk, ki me'iti gilit, literally you have exiled yourself from me. What have you done instead? Vata'ali, you have sacrificed. How have you sacrificed? You have chavt mishkavech, you have expanded your bedtime activities. This refers not to innocent activities, of course, but to the idea of sacrificing to various gods in many, many different places. The idea that, again, the comparison between idolatry and forbidden sexual acts. You are committing these acts in, just like you are committing, the idea of having a large bed refers to a large number of forbidden sexual acts. Here you are committing these acts of idolatry in many different places. You are not restricting yourself to one worship, but you are worshipping many, many different gods. And here the prophet begins to address the issue of what you expect of this idolatrous cult. Do you expect that these gods will actually have a long-term relationship with you? Vatichrot lach mehem. Are you expecting them to make a covenant with you? Ahavt mishkavam, you love sleeping with them, the prophet says. Yad chazit, you have seen yourself to establish a monument for them. The prophet is laughing at the people. Do you expect a long-term relationship with this idolatrous cult? That idea is taken up in Pasuk Yud Aleph 11. Ve'et mi da'agt vatir'i ki techazevi. Who are you concerning yourself with? Who are you fearing? You are indeed deceiving yourself. Ki techazevi, the idea of lehachziv, you are fooling yourself, and you are leading yourself into destruction. Ve'oti lo zachart, and you are not remembering me, or you are not mentioning me. Lo samt al libech, you have not placed me on your heart. Halo ani machshe, this is a key phrase. Am I not the one who is silent? What is the advantage of God being silent? Rashi, shehecheshti al kama psha'im shepashat bi. I forgave you many times for sinning against me, and yet you have totally forgotten me. Hello ani machshe umeolam. I have indeed maintained silence from many, many times back. Repeatedly you have sinned. Repeatedly I have maintained silence and not punished you. Ve'oti lo tirai, me you do not fear. In other words, you, from whom are you fearing? You are fearing from these idols, you are concerned about their reaction, but how are you not concerned about my reaction? Pasuk Yud Bet, follows this idea. Ani agid sitkatech. This can be understood in two ways. Rashi, ani tamid magid lach dvarim shim tasi otam titzdaki. I always tell you words that could lead you to acts of righteousness. But this pasuk could also be understood as ani agid sitkatech. I am the one who will pass judgment upon you. I am the one who will speak in judging you. And that follows up the first pasuk, where the people are called to be judged. Ve'et ma'asayich ve'lo yo'iluch. I am the one who will determine whether you are to be judged favorably or not. And your acts, they will not serve you they will not serve you well. In other words, your acts you are currently committing are not going to result in anything positive. You are going to be judged by me, and you are not doing very well. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Bezaakech yatziluch kibutzayich. When you call out, this is a question, will all those who you have gathered save you? In other words, will all these idols whom you have gathered together to worship them, will they save you when you call out, when you have trouble? Will they really be there for you? Ve'et kulam yisaruach yikach havel. All of them will be blown away by the wind, and nothingness will take them. They are not actually powerful, they are not actually worth anything. But in contrast, v'hachose vi yinchal eretz v'yirash har kotshi. One who trusts in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. In other words, the idol worship, which is so very attractive because it promises the idea of control over nature, of instant response via fertility cult, all of these promises of instant gratification from idolatrous worship will prove to be false. But in contrast, one who trusts in me, one who seeks shelter in God, will inherit the land and possess God's holy mountain. And here we get into the Haftarah for Yom HaKippurim, which begins with Pasuk 14. Ve'amar solu solu panu darech harimu michshol miderech ami. And he shall say, and here this is the prophet speaking, solu solu panu darech, solu literally to raise up the road and to remove the impediments from the road. Solu solu panu darech, raise up, clear the road. Harimu michshol miderech ami. Raise up all the stumbling blocks from the road of my people. This idea of people walking on a road is an image which we saw for the first time in chapter 40, where the Navi gave the idea of the people walking along Derech Hashem Mesila Lelokeinu, a road of God, a highway towards God, towards our God. And here that idea is repeated again. One could argue, well, the people have sinned. They are no longer worthy of being on the road to redemption. Yet the prophet answers that if you will remove the stumbling blocks, as Rashi comments here, Sakalu ha'avanim sha'atem nichshalim raglechem bahem hem hir hurei resha. The stumbling blocks that you are stumbling on here are the thoughts of evil. If you will remove the stumbling blocks, the thinking of sin and the acts of sin from the way of my people, you will be able to return to the straight and narrow. You will be able to repent and return to have a relationship with God, leading you back on the road towards repentance. Pasuk Tetva 15. Kicho amar ram v'nisa, shochen ad v'kadosh shemo marom v'kadosh eshkon, ve'et daka u'shefal ruach, lahachayot ruach shvalim u'lahachayot lev nidkaim. Throughout this chapter, the people have been the prophet has spoken about how the people are led into practices of the fertility cult. The fertility cult offers the opportunity to an individual to believe in a goddess who is very proximate, who is very near, who is not at all transcendent in the world, or transcendent above the world, but is actually practical, but is rather practical, near, imminent, able to offer immediate help. And here the prophet is saying, do you not understand what God is? God is both transcendent above the world and immanent in the world. He is concerned with your issues at the same time as he is in control of everything. Chazal teach, b'chol matkom shata motzei gdulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata motzei anav tanuto. In every place where you see God's greatness, you also see his concern for the lowly. And here this pasuk combines those two ideas. For thus says the High and the Elevated, who dwells forever, and holy is his name. High and holy I dwell, but yet, ve'etaka u'shval ruach, I am with the lowly, I am with the humble of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of those who are broken. The idea that God is concerned with the fate of the individual, God is attentive to the individual's plight, despite his elevated nature, he is still concerned about the individual's plight and pays attention. Pasuk 16, this leads to thoughts of God's concern for people who seek to return from acts of sin. Ki lo le'olam ariv v'lo lanetzach ektzof. Not forever will I castigate you, ariv here in the sense of calling you to judgment, as we saw earlier. Not forever will I call you to judgment. V'lo lanetzach ektzof, not forever will I be angry. Ki ruach milfanai ya'atof. Unshamot ani asiti. Ruach milfanai ya'atof here is understood by the Mefarshim as that spirit of human beings who submits itself before me, who acts in a broken-hearted way before me, a human being who recognizes God's sovereignty. Ruach milfanai ya'atof, a spirit who acts weakly before me, in other words, who recognizes that I am more powerful, that I am the sovereign one, such an individual will in fact receive a reward from God. And the end of the pasuk, Unshamot ani asiti, is quite difficult syntactically. We have to understand it here as a continuation of the idea of Ruach lefanai milfanai ya'atof, the spirit who breaks itself before me and humbles itself before me, I will make that spirit, I will revive that spirit, I will allow that person to receive a reward. That idea is repeated in greater detail in Pasuk 17. Ba'avon bitz'o katzafti va'akehu, because of the sin of theft, the sin of robbery and of illegal, ill-gotten gain, I became angry and I smote him. Haster va'aktsof, I hid my face from him and I was angry. Now, that idea of bitz'o, of ill-gotten gain, is developed by the Radak here. He speaks about the importance of mentioning the sin of ill-gotten gain. Ki hu mafsid seder ha'yishuv, because ill-gotten gain, acts of robbery and theft, destroy the order in society and cause the total destruction of society. He mentions the idea of the mabul being a punishment for these type of acts of ill-gotten gain. And the pasuk concludes, "Vayelech shavav b'derech libo," the person going astray after the root of his heart. And yet that person still has the possibility of returning and repenting. Pasuk 18, "Durachav ra'iti va'er pa'ehu," I saw his way in the Targum here, "Orach tiovton galya kadami," I have seen the way of his repentance. The way of his repentance I have seen, and I have healed him. The idea of healing here, as in the Yeshaya Perak Vav, God's return to have a good relationship with people. So, his ways I have seen, and I have healed him. I have renewed my relationship with him and repaired my relationship with him because of his acts of repentance. Va'anchehu, va'ashalem nichumim lo v'la'avelav. I have led him towards me, and I have paid condolences to him and to his mourners. The idea that God is acting in a way that indicates the return of the nechama, the return of this, the prophecies of consolation, of condolence, of rebuilding of Jerusalem, to those individuals who seek God out and who are willing to repent. Pasuk 19, Bore Niv Svataim, the creator of speech. What does the creator of speech say? Shalom, shalom, la rachok v'la karov, amar Hashem urfa'ativ. peace, peace to those who are near, to those who are far, says God, I will heal you. The idea that no matter what, whether the person is in the past being near or in the past being far, God will now, if the person repents, God will bring them near. As Rashi comments, Mi shenit yashen vihugal b'torati uva'avorati minu rav, Mi shenit karev ata mikarov lashuv midarko hara'a. The rachok refers to someone who from long ago, from far away, has been used to practicing my Torah and my divine service from his youth, and the karov is someone who is newly brought near to divine service. Mishenit karev ata mikarov lashuv midar kohara'a. Someone who has come near just recently to return from his evil ways. Both of those people are, according to Rashi, shnehem shavim. They are both equal. The rachok and the karov, amar Hashem urfativ, I will heal you. The chapter ends with two verses that speak about those who continue and persist in their evil ways, and concludes with the idea, en shalom amar Elokai, Larashaim. There is no peace for those who persist in their evil ways. But the key point here, in this chapter as a whole, is expressed in Pasuk 19. Boreniv Svataim, the one who creates speech. Shalom, shalom, larachok v'lakarov, amar Hashem urfativ. Peace, peace to the one who is near and to the one who is far, says God, I will heal him. And the near and the far here, as Rashi comments, refers to those who are both those who have from a long time ago been steeped in worship of God and His Torah, and to those who until recently have been sinning, but now return to serve God. They too deserve a special status. They too deserve divine healing. They too will be able to participate in the return to Zion and in all the prophecies of consolation that are contained in the idea of getting up on the road, as we see in Pasuk 14, Solu, Solu, Pano Derech, raise up, get on, clear the road. You can get back on the road and you can move towards repentance as a result. You can get back on the road and you can move towards redemption as a result of repentance.